The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. On the line, we have Dimitri Logothetis. You may recognize his name from the credits of some amazing action movies that have been coming out over the last couple of years. The reboot of the Kickboxer series, and his forthcoming film, Jiu-Jitsu, based on his comic book as well, which will be starring Tony Jaa and Nicolas Cage, amongst other amazing action film stars. Dimitri, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thanks for calling and thanks for asking. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's a nice day out. It's not a million degrees like it has been. So there you go. So the first question I got to start out with is, it doesn't look like you have a ton of like film credits under your belt, but you're already coming out with like these amazing 80s style action films. How did you get involved in making these movies?
Well, I mean, early on in my career, I did independent filmmaking, and then I took the first screenplay that was ever written by Stephen King, called Stephen King's Sleepwalkers. I bought it, I set it up, and then I produced that. And so I did very, very well with that. And then I moved into television. So I did an awful lot of television, and that took up quite a bit of time. But I always had an affinity for independent features, so I just decided to get back to the independent feature game. And I managed to get my hands on the remake rights for Kickboxer. And so I thought that it would be a good idea to relaunch that franchise. I'm a martial artist from way, way back in my 20s. I got a couple of black belts. And quite frankly, I was with my son and his friend when they were about 12 or 13 years old on a summer vacation down in San Diego. And they were watching on the internet this movie called Ong Bak. And so I'm watching this film, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, this guy is incredible. And that was starring Tony Jaa. And then I thought, well, you know something, I think I'm going to go ahead and write a script and relaunch Kickboxer and do a remake. And I found Alain Moussi, who's an exceptional martial artist, and that's how I got back into the independent film game.
So talking about the reboot of Kickboxer. So I have a son who's 15 years old, and like the original Kickboxer was kind of like an action movie rite of passage with him and I, where I was like, you have to see this movie. It's so good. And you're rebooting like this classic 80s martial arts film, and somehow managed to actually make it great, which is something that most reboots don't do. You know, how did you approach it to update it without like just totally dismissing like the old version of the film?
Well, I mean, again, being a martial artist and loving martial arts films, when I was a kid and I was taking, just before I started taking martial arts, from some exceptional teachers, you know, all of my friends and I, we used to go and we'd watch Enter the Dragon at midnight showings every time it played. We must have watched it about 20 or 30 times. So the basis for me of a good martial arts movie is you need an authentic martial artist. You need somebody who's really great. Without that, you don't have anything, you know. You can forgive the storyline, you can forgive the acting, but you certainly can't forgive the fact that he's not any good at martial arts. So that was the key, and I found an exceptional martial artist in Alain Moussi. He was a six-degree jiu-jitsu master. He can do a front flip. He can do a back flip. He can do some exceptional martial arts, as you can well see, and I started there. Now, in terms of rebooting the story I thought was always very good. And I thought without Jean-Claude Van Damme as the mentor who would ordain, if you will, the reboot, it wouldn't work either. And so that's how I started with that core. And then I got an incredible Thai stunt team that put together some wonderful fight sequences. And it was pretty easy to do because, again, your lead is authentic. Remember, the guys that I use are, you know, North American. You know, Alon is a Canadian. He's 6'1", and he weighs about 205 pounds. And so for him to be able to do a front flip, a back flip, to be able to run up the side of the wall is in and of itself a feat of magic. And so it doesn't compare when you watch an Asian exceptional martial artist who weighs about 140 pounds. You know, they should be able to do things like that. So that's really the core. And then secondly, you can't do it without Jean-Claude Van Damme. And so it took an awful lot of convincing and meeting. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme, of course, came. And he authenticated it. The next thing, you know, we needed a really incredible bad guy. And so Dave Bautista as Tung Po fit that bill perfectly. You know, Dave, very few people know, is part Filipino. And so he's Asian. He's got Asian blood. And, you know, he blows your mind when he comes on the screen, you know. So when I did the sequel to that, which was Kickboxer Retaliation, I needed to top that. So what did I do? I decided to go with the strongest man in the world, Halfdor Bjorgensen, who is 6'10", 425 pounds. And he was the nemesis against Alon, who weighs half his weight. So I thought that was kind of fun. So I mean,
I had to actually explain to my son that no part of that guy was like CGI, that's like how he really looks.
You know, he at the time that we shot it, he's 28 years old, you know, and he's a kid really. And so I would walk up to him and I would say, Thor, you know, you call him Thor. And I said, Thor, let me ask you a question. I said, so how far can you throw Alon, over your head? And he says to me, well, how far do you want me to throw him? So he's throwing, you know, a man who weighs 205 pounds. He picks him up. You see him in the film. Yeah. He picks him up and he throws him over his head and he literally threw him 25 feet, you know. And everybody said to me when they saw the film, they said, oh, you know, you took the wires out perfectly. I said, what wires? What are you talking about? I said, have you ever seen this guy? I said, the strongest man in the world contest, they throw logs. Gigantic trees and logs over their heads. I said, it was nothing for him to throw a lawn.
It's amazing.
But you know something? Remember, when we grew up, those are the kind of things we love to see. If I went ahead and hooked you up to wires, okay, I can make you fly around. I can make me fly around. I can do all kinds of stuff that you see in the Avengers. My guys are authentic. My guys are there. All the stuff you see them doing, they're doing. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I think the main thing that used to make me really enthusiastic is that, you know, deep down the core of martial arts is that, you know, as the little kid in us believes that we too can be superheroes. All we have to do is we have to train as hard as these guys. We have to go and find the right sensei, the right master, who will teach us how to do a backflip and a front flip and to jump up in the air and do a spinning back kick and all that. And by the way, that's all true. You know, if you're willing to put in the work, you too can be a modern day superhero.
It's interesting. You know, the take on martial arts and like the take on filmmaking seem to be very intertwined. Like you saw a goal and you went for it. You know, you wanted to make this kickboxer reboot, and now going into jiu-jitsu, it looks like you also set a goal for creating a comic and then creating a film from that. Do you think your martial arts background has like aided you in the filmmaking and like creative process?
Yes, of course. I mean, absolutely. And again, if you just go back to the core, you know, where you actually remember what you saw when you used to train, and you used to have some exceptionally talented martial artists in the dojo that can do some things that I could never do, you know. And I would look at these guys and I'd think to myself, you know, or, by the way, any sports figure, you know, you see an incredible basketball player who jumps up and he jumps up 5 or 6 feet in the air, you know. All that stuff is the kind of stuff that really is great to watch, right? Again, anybody can do CGI. Anybody can make anybody look like a superhero. We don't do any of that stuff. We have to get talented, you know, stuntmen and martial artists and true authentic martial artists to do some stuff that blows your mind. And that's what I do. That's where I start, because I think that's where the entertainment comes from.
So with these films, you've worked with some really interesting, like, people. You know, Jean-Claude Van Damme has gone through kind of a resurgence with his, like, semi-autobiographical film, JCVD. You have, like, Dave Bautista, who's been in Avengers films. You have Mike Tyson, who's, like, probably the greatest boxer of all time. And now you're working with, like, Tony Jaa from Ong Bak and Nicolas Cage. Like, what's it like having, you know, all these incredible, like, talents and, like, also incredibly big personalities around you?
Well, I mean, number one, I feel very grateful to have an opportunity to do something like that. You know, very early on in my career, I made a documentary with Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Larry Holmes, and Ken Norton called Champions Forever. And it was the highest selling documentary of all time at the time. It just around the world just, you know, blew right through the roof. And I had the opportunity to spend a couple weeks with Muhammad Ali and get to know him. And I hung out at his ranch. So when you're around somebody who's legendary like that, like Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson or Tony Jaa, you know, you sort of have to count every moment. And I find that they seem to be the nicest people I've ever met. You know, you would think somebody that had that kind of fame and success in the world would be difficult and complicated. And they're not. They're not at all. They're very kind. They're very nice. They're very friendly. And they're very professional to work with. And so you find actors to be a lot more complicated sometimes than any of these you know, magnificent sport figures.
It's interesting. Like, so Nicolas Cage released a movie last year called Mandy, which is very, like, horror genre specific. And now he's releasing, you know, through jiu-jitsu, like, this comic based, like, science fiction / martial arts movie. Like, his kind of forays into genre films have been really, really interesting, because he brings, like, a boldness and a presence to, like, his acting that a lot of actors probably aren't just willing to commit to in a lot of ways. Were there moments on set where you were, this is quintessential Nicolas Cage in his acting?
No, he was a consummate professional. The one thing about Nick that I enjoyed is that he just came right off the plane. He met with me immediately. He had all kinds of notes that were great and great ideas. He grew up on genre. He loves genre. He is hungry to do all kinds of films and work. You know, I think he's misunderstood in that regard, because, you know, as an Academy Award winner, you've got to remember that movie was a completely different movie than the genre movies he's made. I mean, he's made some tremendous. I mean, you know, Raising Arizona. He is more of a European actor than he is an American actor. You know, European actors you find love to work all the time. You know, by the time a European actor passes away, he's done 120, 130 movies. Most American actors, you know, they'll do about 30 or 40 movies in their whole career. And Nick is just one of those actors who just loves to work. He's a cinema buff. He's a true artist. So he embraced this character, and he came up with a very entertaining character. He went immediately after spending about 3 hours with me going over the script and the character. He went over to work out with the stunt guys so that he could get that down. And then every day before we started filming, he would go and work out with the stunt guys, and he'd come back with some ideas. And I mean, you know, I love working with him. And you're going to see his character in the film is extremely entertaining and fun. So
I can't wait. Like I love like I love his forays into genre more than I love his like serious films. Like a movie like Mandy was my favorite movie last year. A movie like Bad Lieutenant, I love it. Like, you know, there's so many people that are detractors of like his acting, and I for one think he's incredible. Like in the strangest, like you said, most European way. I think a big part of his appeal is that he doesn't come across like the normal action film star, you know?
Well, look, I mean, in order to push yourself, you have to take risks. Okay. And you should never knock a guy for or gal for taking risks. I mean, if you want everybody to do the same thing over and over and over again, then they're never going to grow. You know, Nick is not afraid to take a risk, and he's not afraid to fail. You know, he looks back on something that he did because he tried his best and put 100% effort into it and said, well, you know, that didn't really work out. So we move on to the next thing. I mean, you know, you've got to admire an artist like that. And he is a true artist. Nick approaches this acting seriously. I mean, remember, you know, he does come from the Coppola lineage, who is also a true artist. And, you know, I admire people like that. I admire anybody that's willing to take a risk, put himself out there, you know, and that's how you become better at what you're doing, right?
Yeah. It's, you know, if you're we were in San Diego last year and heard Nolan Bushnell, the founder of Atari, say one of the best phrases I've ever heard: your failures are invisible. Like eventually they just disappear and people only see the successes. So I thought that was really, really cool.
Well, look, I mean, you know, we're in the Western world. You know, a martial arts film is considered to be a B film. Okay. In the Eastern world, that's the best movie you can make. I mean, and remember, you know, the Chinese and the Asians, I think they outrank us by about 1.5 billion people, right? If you put them all together. And so why do they pursue this? Well, it's about honor. It's about respect. It's about protecting your family. It's about doing the right thing, you know. And so they put it right up there as one of the best movie genres there is, because there's something really clear cut about it. There's a black and white to the storyline. You know, either the good guy is a good guy or he's not. And so, you know, today life can be a little fuzzy. It can be a little gray. Not in a martial arts film.
Yeah. Huh. That's really cool. Like, genre films are my favorite kind of films. Like I eat up horror movies and science fiction, but one of my favorites and something that I force my children to watch all the time is Kung Fu, like Shaw Brothers films and things like that. And a big part of that is because of like those moral lessons. Like the good guy will overcome every obstacle to help his family or help a person in need. And that's something that I want to instill in my children. And if I get to do that with, like, you know, watching, you know, 36 Chamber of Shaolin for the fifth time, that's a bonus, you know?
Right. I mean, look, you hope, you know, and no more, you know, no more so than the comic books. I mean, the comic book movies, the comic book based films, the X-Men, et cetera, they're very clear cut too. Again, the difference for me in a martial arts film is that you have a normal human being who has focused and who has trained and who has become an authentic superhero without the 50 or 60 million or $100 million that Hollywood injects into it.
So speaking of the comic book, can you tell us a little bit about the comic book that Jiu-Jitsu is based on and kind of some of the differences between working on a comic and working on a film?
Well, I thought, you know, when I thought about writing Jiu-Jitsu, I thought to myself, you know, it'd be kind of cool if I could see it. And so if I could kind of write a treatment and then attach the story in such a way that I could visualize it, that'd be really cool. I'd never written a comic before. And so I sat down with my writing partner, Jim, who I've worked on a lot of projects. And I said, why don't we just go ahead and write this into a comic book? we'll get a guy to draw it all up for us. And then we can actually see it and storyboard it and see if it's something we want to turn into a movie. And that was the genesis for jiu-jitsu and why it, I mean, I wasn't interested in selling comics. But I thought for my own sake, I'd love to be able to see it and visualize it. And that's why I started with a comic book. And then the story started to resonate to me.
When you're approaching like the movie from like this base material that, you know, you effectively created to visualize, does it help like speed up like the storyboarding process and all of those things because you have it ready made for you?
Yeah, it really helps a lot. It helps, it helps to really start to see it. You know, I need to spend time with a script, so that I can actually start to see what the movie's going to look like. And then I got together with my, director of photography for the second time, Madrak, who worked with me on the previous film, who's also a genre buff and an exceptional artist himself. And this movie is going to have an incredible look to it. So I think everybody's going to really enjoy it.
So that's actually the next thing I wanted to ask you about. This is a science fiction, like space aliens versus martial artists film is kind of the billing that I'm picking up. Tell me a little bit about how the aliens are going to be like produced on screen. Like, is it largely practical effects or CG, and just kind of how that is all working out?
Well, it's really kind of a misnomer because a lot of the press has picked it up wrong. It's martial arts Predator, if you will. So it's one alien. And if you like Predator, and now imagine that he is, a martial artist, an exceptional martial artist. And so we're going to inject some CGI in there, but, for the most part, you're going to see an exceptional martial artist. And the guy that we got to play it is the same guy that doubles Thor and Aquaman, and he's an Australian guy. He's a wonderful, wonderful martial artist himself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I am 100% sold on the Predator versus martial artist. Like,
yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah.
One last question before we wrap up. I saw that this is the first like Hollywood produced film that's being filmed in Cyprus. Can you tell me a little bit about filming in Cyprus and how that came about?
Well, they invited me here. The government invited me here about 7 months ago to check out this cash rebate program that they had initiated to bring filmmakers here and to have us start shooting here. And so it's a pretty aggressive program. And when you're making independent films, you need as much help as you can get so that you can, you know, throw more money at the budget and make the movie really good. And so, you know, I decided to give it a try, and I convinced my producing partners to give it a try. And here we are. I mean, it's you know, I've got a European crew. I've got over 26 countries represented in the crew. I brought with me my Thai stunt guys who did the last two Kickboxers with me. So you're going to see some incredible martial arts. And then I also brought with me my Thai production design team. And so because we're shooting Cyprus for Myanmar, Burma, so you're going to see some pretty amazing landscapes. And we just built a beautiful set. So I think you're going to get an awful lot of entertainment out of the film.
I am very excited to see it. Can you let our fans know, you know, when it's coming out and how they'll be able to find it when it releases?
Here you go. It's coming out probably in March or April of next year. And right now we're negotiating with a couple of pretty big domestic distributors, U.S. distributors. For the most part, it's been bought all over the world. Like Kickboxer was, and they're pressing me really hard to make a Kickboxer 3. I've got a script already and stuff, so that's probably coming in the near future, but I've got another movie to make in a few months. So you know, I think it's probably going to be out around March or April of next year.
Awesome. And how can people find you on social media to keep track of all the amazing movies you're making?
On Instagram, I'm on Dimitri's site, Dimitrisite. And we have a Facebook page for jiu-jitsu. I think it's called Jiu-Jitsu Movie. And we have a kickboxer site on Facebook as well.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Dimitri. I love what you're doing. I can't wait to see jiu-jitsu. Like, it sounds genuinely like something right up my alley. So we really appreciate your time today, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.